Welcome, people, to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Accra podcast. And guess what? We're reporting live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. All right, people, it's me. Hello, it's me. Hello, it's me. Hello, it's me. I'm back. Cause it be me popping out, shitting on you hoes. It be me, my body T, I'm bitches goals. Welcome everybody to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Accra podcast. My name is Joseph NT and I'm going to be your host. Yeah. I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR network, the number one podcast hosting network. I also want to give a quick shout out to my producer and co-creator, Mr. Kwame Asantiofori, who's not on this episode, but he will be on the next one. Y'all get it? You get the gist? Great. Okay, listen. For those of you who are not in our channel on Instagram, you are missing out. I will put the thing there for you to join the channel. I'll put it on stories again for you to join, because those in the channel, they know that I'm in Toronto. Well, they knew first. And they know the thing that I'm going through, what I'm dealing with, especially the cold. Hey, oh dang. Isn't April supposed to be spring? Isn't it? Let me just do a quick Google. When does spring start? Because I don't understand. I arrived in this country to -5 degrees at Mississauga. Pearson International Airport. It was Mississauga. I got out of the airport, and when I was speaking, there was vapor. If you mean me who are filming, I only see those things in the movies. But I was like, oh my God. And you know the funny thing about this place is it's so cold, but when you're indoors, whether it's a restaurant, the mall or whatever, it's a bit different. Like, it's not as cold. So I'm walking through. Look, is it spring or chaos, March 20th or 25th? So what is going on with the weather? Canada, what is going on? Anyway, so I arrive, I walk out to go and meet my Uber, and I am met with this sudden cold. And I came with gloves, but I didn't wear it, because you know when you wear the gloves, you can't really you can't use your phone. It was so cold. But, you know, I'm doing what I needed to do. I have a winter jacket, and I'm living with my friend Julian, who, Julian has an array of winter jackets. So, me pia me fana me pe. But, I just got back from London, Ontario. So, you know what? Let's do this breakdown, because I feel like a lot of people don't really know, or people have questions. It's not your business, but, hey, Here we are. I'm doing this thing where I talk to y'all, so I have to tell you. I don't have to. I want to. Why am I self-correcting in real time? But yeah, so I have siblings here, right? I have two brothers here, a cousin and a sister. And then I have an aunt from my maternal side here. Yeah, so I came to see my sister and my brothers. Well, no, what am I saying? I came to see Cardi B. Let's just get it understood. I came to see Cardi B, purr. And I personally have made it a thing for me to take a trip outside Ghana at least once a year. I think it's very important for me. And when I say for my mental health, I don't want you to think about it like, hey, BB, yeah, me, Ghana is killing me. No. You know, the change of scenery, if you can afford it, the change of scenery, getting to see your friends that don't live in the country with you, and experience different things. You know, I have a friend that's flying in from New York. Just come and hang out with me for 3 days. I appreciate friends who can do that, because he left Ghana years ago and we haven't really hung out. He came in December recently, but before then I hadn't seen him in a long time. And in December when he came, he was sick, so we couldn't do much. So he's like, oh, you know, I'll come. And it's fun. You know, there are these things that if you confine yourself to, okay, I'm just going to sit in Ghana. And I'm talking to people who have the means to do this, please. I know people like to tassel. I know. I'm not Francis Xavier Sosu, which we'll get to. I'm going to ask y'all to start Indomie businesses. But no, I just think that it's very great for your life experiences, your mindset, the possibilities, the inspirations, you know. So I came here, and then yesterday I went to London, Ontario to go see my siblings. And, you know, the weather has been so bad. Yesterday, it was around 12:13, the sun came out. And when I was going, I didn't take my gloves. I almost didn't take the puffer jacket. I was just going to go with a hoodie, my Renaissance hoodie. But I was like, you know what? I remember the first that I came, we were going out and I wore the hoodie. And Julian said, wear the puffer jacket on top. And I said, oh, that's too much. He said, wear it. When I went outside, I realized that I actually needed the two pieces of garment. So I just remembered him, his voice, and then I took it. When I tell you, I woke up this morning in London and the weather's gone down to 4 degrees. There was literal fog. It's been raining all day in London. I literally just arrived, jumped into the hot water because I was literally a pillar of salt. And what I hate about the cold is what it does to your fingers. I almost entered the shop to go and buy gloves. There's an abundance of gloves in Julian's apartment. That's why I didn't do it. I'm like, look, Toronto is expensive. Let me be a budget person. But yeah, it's so cold. But I'm okay. Hopefully, look, spring starts to spring. But anyway, enough about me. Let's get into what has been trending. What is going on in the entertainment scene in Ghana? And I'm going to be very honest with you guys. Listen, I am very far removed. The time difference here is, I think, 4 hours and some change. So typically, I'm not on y'all's timeline anymore. It's so crazy. And the thing about traveling, because I was going to say Canada, but it happens when I went to Joburg as well. On all of the apps, they really push local content. So on TikTok, I'm seeing more Canadians. When I open my Snapchat, there's always two ads at the top. Yes, crazy. Different things. Burger King, DoorDash. So I'm not really seeing a lot. I put a message in our channel and I asked people to tell me what are the trending things that we can talk about. And these are what they put there. I feel like there's more happening, but I can't be bothered because I actually want to tell you guys about my Cardi B experience. I'm going to talk about it. I went to Cardi's tour, Little Miss Drama Tour, and I want to tell you about it. People even asked on the group that, you know, I talk about it. So yeah, you need to join our channel on Instagram because we're having a good time over there, a little more up close and personal. People are directly involved in the goings on of the podcast. Anyway, but let's start. Okay, so hey, shout out to Samini and Stoneboy. You know, Samini has dropped his album. Last year when Samini was on the podcast, he spoke about his next album, Origin 8. Well, it's out. And you know, he has a song with Stoneboy. It's called Electric Energy. I love the song. I love it. I haven't listened to the whole album, but I've listened to Electric Energy because, you know, I think a couple of weeks ago, they released videos of them on set shooting the video. Yeah, and I saw on Instagram that the video is coming out soon. I love this song. I think the two guys go great on a record. Stoneboy's voice, Samini's tone, it's really great. So I listened to it. It's really nice. On the last episode, we had spoken about some of the new music that was coming out. Pop Star by Blacko is finally out. And guys, you know me, I'm always going to be honest with you. I don't know. I feel like maybe because of the gloves and that whole rollout of it, I kind of expected something. To be fair, they did put out a video of him dancing by the pool with a grill and they played the beat of the track. So I should have had an idea, but I don't know why. Cause you know, I was telling you guys about, Tyler's A-pop album and how the song that she's released, I'm addicted, baby, what you want me to do? You know? And how it was very poppy. I think Pop Star, I thought the sound was going to be different. You know what I mean? So when I first heard it, because that's not what I was expecting, I really wasn't vibing with the song. And I actually had a conversation with Kwame about it because I love Blacko so much. You guys know, I really appreciate the intentionality that he puts into his artistry. I think if more artists, you know, just reinvent themselves and reinvent how they present their music to us, because honestly, that's what it is. You cannot come and perform the same song to us flat as it is on the track. Not flat, but the same way it's on the track every single time you go on the stage. Reinvent it. That's what these artists do globally. And that's what makes it interesting. So I really appreciate it. But I said, Kwame, do you like Pop Star? I'm not liking it as much as I wanted to like it. And he said, you need to sit with it. So I've been intentionally listening to it for over and over. And then I realized that there's content on social media. People are doing tracks with it. And you know, that's one of the best ways to get people to like your music. The Nigerians ate with that. Whenever Mavens, I remember when Ira, Rema, you know, early days, whenever they release a song, all the content creators on Instagram, TikTok, they'll be using those songs. And I just knew Maven was paying. I knew it was part of rollout. Even if it has nothing to do with a song, it will be the song that they are playing in the background. So subconsciously, you're on your phone and you're scrolling. Every two scrolls, you're hearing the song. You like the song. So I watched a couple of content videos that people have done and I like it. I like it. From January to December, me I thought, I like it now. It's growing on me. So yeah, shout out to you, Blacko. I'm actually very interested in seeing where this leads us to. Because this is kind of like January 9th, right? January 9th was the first lead single for Iron Boy. Anyway, all the best with that. Yeah, so these people actually thought that they would tell me that Otuhado has been sacked. I'm talking about the people in the channel. We have about 150 something members. Otuhado has been sacked is one of the things they wanted me to talk about. I guess it qualifies as pop culture, I guess, because there's nothing entertaining about that. Blackstar stopped entertaining me a long time ago. Recently, I saw some videos of them dancing to Kakalika, the different players. And I just thought to myself, who are these people? Who are these people? I do not know them. I don't know them. I couldn't recognize them. Wow. The Black Stars team has changed so much. Cha. I don't know them all. So honestly, but I know Otuhado has been a coach for a little, like, what, 2 years or something. And you people have not stopped telling the whole world that Otuhado is not the man of the job for the job. They didn't like when they hired him. They've complained about his performance every time. And he's been sacked, guys. I don't know the details. I mean, let me do a quick, let's do a quick Google, guys. These days, I have my, what's it called? My laptop here. So I can do live a year. Okay, so this is from, where is this from? This is from The Guardian. Hey, it's not small. Okay, Ghana have sacked their head coach Otuhado 72 days before the start of the 2026 World Cup. Ooh, it's in 72 days? Hey, wow. The decision came hours after a 2-1 defeat by Germany. Ooh, okay. I remember the Black Stars were playing a friendly in Germany. Look, this is how far removed I am from soccer and the Black Stars business. But I remember a conversation about Ghana going, oh, I now remember. So you see there's this video where there are these people that are going, Apia Stadium is parts. Is that Apia Stadium? The guy that's always following popular politicians around and, you know, ridiculing himself to get attention. Yeah, there was this video, he and some guy and then some woman, they were going and they said, I think one of them was a minister. So, going to Germany ahead of the friendlies. Yes. And the woman inside was saying that, Sikano, you're being demoted 70%, nearly 20%. I mean, let me tell you something. I really need every single person that has an online presence. That's including, you don't have to be an influencer. Every single person. We need to be very, very intentional about booing these people when they show these kind of things, because I feel they are under the impression that they can act however they want and it's going to be okay. I mean, how dare you? How really dare you? I don't know who she is. I don't know the position that she's occupying, that she's going on that trip, but to look into a camera and then tell Ghanaian, taxpaying Ghanaians, that Sikana, friendly is not there. 70% is moving nowadays. I mean, uncouth, ill-mannered, lack of an awareness of the position and the privilege that she has. Like, what is that? I saw the whole thing and I was like, what is this? What? these are the things that I need y'all to start talking about. Lily Mohammed, everybody that, you know, randomly picks and chooses when they want to talk about it. This should be a hot topic on all radio stations, on everything, and start to talk about, dissect, and let these people know that they are goofing. That's what needs to happen, because you should not feel comfortable looking into the camera that is recording you to see such a thing. Anyway, they've sacked him. They said, hey, they beat us 5-1. Ah! Wait, hold on. The decision came hours after a 2-1 defeat by Germany in Stuttgart. Okay, so Germany beat us. And then we were also beat 5-1 in Austria on Friday. Ooh, okay. Okay, so this must be a performance thing. The Ghana Football Association have parted ways with the head coach of the senior men's national team, Otuhado, effective immediately, as Stephen said. Germany needed an 88th minute, girl, not necessary. You know, kudos to you, Otuhado. I'm not even going to lie, guys. Let's be very honest. I remember when Otuhado used to play. I remember who he was playing with. And let's be very honest. Out of the lot, if you are going to ask me who I thought would come back and coach the Black Stars, Otuhado would not have made it in my top 5 picks. I'm going to be very honest with you. I think he was an okay player. There was nothing really spectacular. I think, and I'm sorry, I mean this very respectfully, guys. Very respectfully. I don't know. You know the way the world is. Maybe his cousin, his sister, his auntie, or whatever listens to it. Maybe he himself listens to it. Otuhado, listen. Listen, I'm just saying, And listen, you can feel a way. You know what's funny? The way I'm acting as if I have his attention, but I'm just saying, you can feel a way you want to feel about it, because I don't want to give you this context. I don't follow soccer, so I really don't know what I'm talking about. I attack sports and soccer from a pop culture entertainment point of view, and I just feel like when people used to talk about Otaru back then, it was because it was fine. The girls made a big, it was him, Kevin Prince, Boateng, Junior Agogo. They would always talk about the fine players. And I think that's where Otaru fell. It was not, for me, I did not really recall any conversation about skill. So, you know, this is great. You know, I don't know. Maybe you follow that guy. Is it Sami Kufuor? Follow him and go and become a pundit. Or, you know, you look, it's on your CV. You know, you did your best. You've won some games too. So all the best. And, talking about goofing, let's talk about the Member of Parliament, Francis Xavier Sosu, which, by the way, I must say, I'm very taken aback that he's the one that said this, because Francis Xavier Sosu, I think if I remember correctly, he was against the anti-LGBTQ bill or something like that. I remember him coming up, I just remember him from some news updates where he was saying something sensible, and I was like, oh, wow, like, I actually like this guy and what he's doing. So I was a bit taken aback when I saw this, but let's get into it. So I saw a video where, and honestly, I'm going to be very honest with you. the doubled out. I don't really, these days, when I see politics related videos and things, I really be scrolling. So if the caption gets my attention, I'll read. But I saw a video where he was being interviewed, and you know, sometimes you're scrolling. If you don't open the video, you don't hear the voice. So I just scrolled away. Then I saw a video by Fahim and Blay, and they were eating pizza. And anyway, like, the caption was, us enjoying the fruits of our 50 Indomie joints or something like that. So when I saw it, I didn't get the joke, but I was also self-aware that, okay, I've not been very present online for the last 2-3 weeks or whatever, so I'm missing some inside joke. Then I saw another content creator do something, I think Abokuma or whatever. It was Kojo Sheldon. He had done a table, he was selling Indomie, and then he had put something. So I was like, what's going on with this Indomie? I'm seeing so many Indomie content, whatever, you know? And then I looked into it, and the National Democratic Congress lawmaker. Ooh, oh my God. Apple Atime, iTunes, child. Anyway, the National Democratic Congress lawmaker, speaking in an interview, urged young Ghanaians to establish. So I remember, people were talking about, I think they were interviewing him, and he was passing a comment about people complaining about the government not creating jobs. Mind you, a big part of their campaign was a 24-hour economy, right? Where they were going to give people jobs. Let's just scale back. But you let me say what he said before I get on it. So he was passing a comment on, or he was asked about unemployment or something like that. And he said, sit on Twitter and TikTok and make noise and see whether noise creates jobs. As a young person, you should own about 10 Indomie joints that can fetch you money instead of chasing governments for jobs, he said, full stop. Francis, this is very interesting to come from you, because your party run on 24-hour economy. Your party run on providing jobs. It is just fine that the citizens that listen to those promises, believed in and voted, can ask or seek. In fact, it's our mandate to seek accountability. It is our mandate. Let us just start there. There's this thing that leaders in Ghana do. And, you know, I just want to say, it is, if you listen to this podcast, it's very important that you do not take any kind of critique of a sitting government to mean that somebody's an opposition party. I think it's very myopic if you think that way. I think that it shows how, in fact, myopic and small-minded is the same. But it just shows the kind of person you are and your level of reasoning, because it's our civic duty to vote, and it's our civic duty to demand of elected officials that they do the things that they promised that they will do, or the things that are necessary for us to have a good standard of living. That is all we can hope for. This is what your party ran on. I think it is very wild for you to make it look like people cannot come and complain about jobs. This reminds me of, you remember when the lights were going off in the previous government, and the energy minister was asked if there was going to be a load shedding schedule or something like that. And do you see the condescension? Make your own schedule. Wait, where do these guys get off thinking it's okay to have this kind of posture against the people that have put them in elected office? I don't know. You see, sometimes I hold, the reason why I hold back on a lot of the public commentary, generally social media and Kasanasi, I personally share opinion, because you people, because of money, you are always performing stupidity. But anyway, y'all want Elon's check. Y'all will do and say anything for Elon's check. But I think that sometimes, you know, people that are put in leadership positions, they get into this position, they get comfortable, their standard of living changes. They actually move mountains to make sure that the people around them, that is children, most of them, you see, their children, they've taken them out abroad and stuff like that. And then when people have complaints, it's like, how dare you? And I just don't understand it. It's crazy. It also tells me that you seem to really underestimate entrepreneurship. And this happens, this country, Ankasan, we don't put respect on a lot of things. And that is why I'm not, no shade. This contributes to unemployment as well. We do not put value on a lot of jobs. A lot of people see white collar jobs and that's it. I want to sit in an office and that's it. There are so many things that you can do and ways to make money, especially in 2026. But we don't attach respect to things. It's only recently that the creative industry is starting to command some respect. Because first, we're a photographer. Your point, sorry, I would not sorry. Now, wait for pictures. Now people who are photographers are doing it big. They can do photo shoots. They can do brand work. You get what I'm trying to say? And it takes a while for us to put respect on certain jobs. How can you stand here and make it seem like it's so easy to start a business? Where is the capital coming from? Indomie, gas. Look at the elements. Indomie, gas, oil, vegetables. Mind you, for the last how many years, vegetable prices have gone up and down, up and down. Burkina Faso, as in Sisekra tomato, a problem. Let's be very honest. Do you get it? Starting a business and running it successfully, it's not easy. Where are you going to get the capital from? Sometimes when I pick Ubers and I want to pay them via mobile money, they'll tell me that they are owing quick loan, so I shouldn't send them. And they say, how much do you owe? 300 cedis. They can't pay. But they are driving Uber, buying fuel, and they are married, they have children. What, like, do you guys live in reality with us? So where from this condescension on you should have, what, if anything, 10 Indomie joints? 10 Indomie joints. Really? If it was that easy to make money, I don't think you would have been a politician. Say, you wouldn't. I'm sorry. This is very disappointing coming from him. I just don't get it. And I'm actually very glad that the ecosystem around things now. So, for example, all the content creators directly making the content about it. So people, it's raising awareness on where it's coming from. We're actually ridiculing what he said because, yeah, it doesn't hold water. Air basket. Into me fancy in you. And I think, like I said in the previous story, we need to just continue. And that's what I'm doing. Even talking about it here, we need to just continue hammering it, letting them know that it is not right. The way they are goofing is disgraceful. It's shameful. You cannot tell people not to. What do you mean? Instead of making noise, where should they make noise? When you go to different parts of the world, you can actually call a line and complain to your assembly member. You can call a phone and or an email, send it, and then they'll go to, how do we reach you? Even if there's a way, me, as I say, I don't know. How do they reach you? So if they are on social media and they are talking about unemployment, especially when you run on unemployment, come on, please. This is a joke, guys. This is just a joke. Step on the foot on neck, can't breathe. Lucky Charm, Van Cleef. Look, let's just keep letting them know that they have goofed so that they can behave better, because it's just too much. It's just too much. I mean, I don't even want to get into the Sam George of it all, because that whole post that he did, oh my God. Guys, look, let's move on. Okay, let's just move on. So of course, yes, I came to Canada because of Cardi B. Yes. I just want to say I've been a fan of Cardi since Love & Hip Hop. That's where I met her. I didn't meet her on social media. I met her on Love & Hip Hop. You know, look, I love Ratchet TV, guys. Oh my God. I was an ardent watcher of The Housewives, Atlanta, and I think New York. I watched Flavor of Love. That's just my bag, especially back then. I feel like these days, reality TV doesn't have the appeal that it used to have, because social media in and of itself is reality TV. You have a first class seat in the lives of these people. So you don't, you know, reality, we didn't have access. So that was how it was. But I've always loved it. I remember I saw her when she said, if a bitch have beef with me, she gonna have beef with me forever. And I just said, oh my God, who is this girl? And I loved her, you know. She's funny. She's very real. She never seems to be putting on airs. You know, I remember there was this scene where she and one of the cast members went for elocution classes, and they were teaching her how to be classy. And you could tell she was genuinely, Cardi is just funny. Cardi is funny. So I remember when Bodak Yellow came out, and I really liked the song, and we all watched in real time Bodak Yellow climb up the charts, and I just love what it represented for female rap because, you know, for the longest time, Nicki run the game. Anytime somebody came in, she was immediately compared to Nicki and not much of a chance was given. Nobody has really been able to like break through. Cardi did that. And all of a sudden we have all of these wave of people coming like Latto, Glorilla. And I know a lot of the barbs will listen to this and say, well, Nicki's a blueprint. Nicki's a blueprint. Nicki, yes. Nicki put female rap on the map again because after, you know, the Missy's, the Lauryn Hill's, the whatever, at that time, there was a drought. And Nicki came and she was in the game for, I think, 10 years. I remember those days, BET Awards, every time they mentioned the hip-hop female, everybody noticed Nicki. You know what I mean? But I think Cardi came and made it bankable for record labels to sign rap bitches. You know what I mean? And, you know, you can take that however you want. From where I sit, that's what I see. And I really like her. I like her music. I think, what you know, when it comes to Cardi B, what I've realized, I think because she was a stripper, a lot of people discount her. A lot of people think less of her. We, you know, look, generally society thinks less of anybody that does sex work or is sex work adjacent. And stripping is sex work adjacent because, you know, you are literally selling your body. You may not be having sex with people, but, you know, it's sex work adjacent. And that's how we think about it. We grew up in a society where we people look down on prostitutes. The way we talk about prostitutes is not great. So nobody is looking at a prostitute and giving them any kind of respect. And so when you take it from there, then you go to a stripper, escort, those kind of things. And I think a lot of people just, they discount her. And they don't see the smarts. If you listen to her story, she was stripping because she couldn't keep a job. You know, she wasn't doing great in school. Let me not get into all of this. But anyway, I love Cardi. I think her new album was great. In the 7 years, she's given us singles that has sustained us. And I, as soon as she announced it, because this is her first tour, I'm so much of a fan, guys. In 2016, I traveled all the way to Dusseldorf to see Beyonce perform in Formation. Unfortunately for me, Act 1 and 2, my work and whatever, I couldn't do it. But I'm ready for Act 3. So best believe. But yeah, I really wanted to go. So I remember when she posted it, I looked straight at the Toronto dates and I saw it was March 30th. And I said, this year I wanted to come back to Canada, but not at this time. I wanted to come in the summer proper because last time I came in August and everybody was telling me, I should have come in July. So that was the plan. But then I saw it, I said, oh shit, I have to move the trip up. You know what I mean? So that is why I came. And oh, the tour, as you see it on social media, it doesn't do it justice. That was like a clubbing experience. Everybody was lit. She had a DJ that played for, I think, about 45 minutes. And he just kept playing bangers after bangers, hyping us up. People were drinking. And, you know, I think because of who she is, people just came to the thing on a vibe. People were in their little, you know, drama school outfits. I tried to do a little drama school myself, but gosh, it got so hot in the arena, I had to take it off. I was wearing like a sweater with a white collar, you know, kind of giving college vibes. It got too hot because I was moving up and down, singing every song word for word. So I had to take it off and my undershirt. Look, it was a vibe. It was a party. It was so great. And I got to hear her perform Killing You Hoes live. Killing You Hoes is the best song on the album, hands down. Hands down. I mean, look. God, thank you for making me the baddest bitch alive. Cute little aura. I don't know. I'm just a vibe. All white toes looking like somebody's bride. Bunch of black trucks looking like somebody's bride. I see a whole name. I'll just be doing charity. What? I'm sorry. I ain't come here to play. I'm killing you hoes. I go to work every day. I'm killing you hoes. Not a hair out of place. She said, say what you want, but you can't call me broke. Oh my God. Out here wine sipping, me and Hennessy just cosplaying white women, Balenciaga's diamonds. Oh, girl. I never heard a nigga say he's done with me. Come get up with me, baby. Come get up with me. Life is the movie. Mine will be a sex. No, wait. Life is the movie. Mine will be a sex scene. Stepping in the jacuzzi, looking like, yeah, stepping out the jacuzzi, looking like a wet dream. Ah! Cardi does it for me. And she was so funny. She was talking to us. I really enjoyed the show. It was great. It was great. The highlight for me of the show, I'm not going to lie, were the outfit changes. I don't know what Cardi's doing at the back. I need a Renaissance type documentary on Netflix by fall. Quickly. By fall. Look. Every single outfit was very different. You can't even say, oh, she's wearing it under. No. I think she has one person for each shoe, one person for each arm. I don't know. Maybe they are ripping. I don't know. She changed so quick. I remember after the first act, she disappears into the stage. So people are starting to turn to go, you know, and pee. So you're climbing up because it's an arena. You have to climb up the stairs and things. Bro, they didn't get anywhere. This girl is back on stage. New outfit. Completely new outfit. I counted, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, I think 5 or 6 outfit changes. All of them within 3 minutes. Beyonce, girl, I've been to your show. Your outfit changes take longer. But to be fair, it's always a great show. Trust me. It's a good 2, 2.5 hours that you, yeah, Beyonce does it. But I'm just saying, and that's quick change. And for Beyonce, it's like maybe 4 or 5 minutes. And it's okay because people go to the bathroom, come back, go refill their drinks. Cardi was doing that in less than 3. It was crazy. Yeah, we lost the Pretty and Petty challenge. I think Torontarians have not been online because she actually shouted, eliminated. No, I had a ball. I'm so glad I was able to go. I got merch. I got a Little Miss Drama hat. You know, I love a hat. So I'll probably wear it in one of the video episodes you guys will see. If you're on the channel, I will send you a picture. Instagram, join us there. Yeah, so big shout out to you, Big Barty. I watched an interview today that she did, and she's saying that she was negotiating for an European leg of her tour. I'm so happy for you, and I think you really need to do that to solidify this era because it's your first major headlining tour, and if you're able to do it, it will add to the numbers. And you know the rap girlies are always trying to compare stats and numbers, girl. I see there are some records you're already breaking. Keep it up. You're always doing it big. Big Barty, listen, Big Barty doesn't play. I trust and believe in Cardi so much. And you know the thing about me, when I follow somebody or there's somebody that I adore, like Beyonce or whatever, I study them a lot. I have studied Beyonce, how she moves, the effort that she puts into her work. You know, that is just how I move. I didn't make noise and say, hey, I'm coming to do Off the Top. I worked on the thing. When Off the Top was ready, I put it out. Same way, you know, and I always learn from them. And one thing about I'm getting from Cardi is I'm learning more to be myself more. And you even realize that even on the podcast, I'm now talking a bit more about my personal life. I remember when I started, I was like, I'm not going to tell these people about my personal life because it involves other people. Sometimes my friends will even crack jokes and say, I hope you're not going to go and say this on the podcast. But I'm talking more about my personal life because, you know, the relatability that I get from Cardi, it really sells it for me. And yeah, I'm studying her. And today when I went to the tour, I was so inspired. You realize that, you know, this season we're now weekly and we put out promo for small business ads. You know, we're trying to be on our, you know, we want to really build this into something that, you know, is a legacy project. You know what I mean? Something that possibly, because both Kwame and I have day jobs, we could possibly retire on this, you know, because Nsiele Okra is such a vibe. Something when I look back and I think about what we've created, I'm in awe because I just wanted to yap and Kwame was happy to work with me. And you know, here we are doing it big, and that's it. I get my inspirations from people like this, and she just really inspired me. And so we're really on it. And I want to say, guys, we've started small business ads. We're running it this year. If you have a small business and you think that you want our sincerities to listen to you, learn about your business, come to us. Okay. It's a very cool deal. So far, you've seen that AB Cards have done ads with us, and Cody Pets has done ads with us. AB Cards did it for, so it's a 2-episode deal, guys. It's one price. Then I talk about your product on 2 episodes. Yes. Cody Pets paid for more. So they got more. Come on, guys. Come on. I really need you guys to understand that. You see, with podcasting, it's a long game. It is a long game. What you want to do is top of mind awareness. You let people become aware that if ever they're in a position where they need this thing, you are the person to give it to them, or you're the person to do it for them. So with podcasting, it's always great when you have a season-long sponsorship or you're doing your ads for longer. Nonetheless, there are certain episodes that even sincerity themselves will tell you that they listen to more than once. People talk about it, whatever. You want to make sure that you're putting yourself in a position where your brand can be talked about. And it's not much money, trust me. It's not much money. You have to invest. Entrepreneurship is not easy, but these are some of the ways that you have to do. You have to invest in yourself, invest in your business, and so that you can say that you did everything that you could, right? It's not. If you come and ask us and you can't afford it, now okay, at least back. Trust me, you will come back. You want to be on Sincerely Accra. Yeah. So hit us up, you know, our small business promo, send us a DM anywhere, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. And yeah, let's talk. Yeah. Anyway, that brings us to the end of what is trending. Yeah. This is what the chat gave me, and this is what I'm experiencing. Next week, I'm going to be recording with Kwame. I'll still be in Toronto. So I'll talk more about the people and my experiences and things like that. I really wanted to do that, but, you know, I think it'll be fun with Kwame. I really enjoy it. Look, guys, I really enjoyed episodes we do with Kwame. Oh, my God. I have done this podcast for going on nine years. I'm always here talking to myself. I feel like a lunatic. But now with Kwame, there's, oh, my God. It's so much fun.
Baby, be lady. And since the 80s, you drive me crazy. Mercedes, 80s, you lie me, day. BSAM pet, so now say 80. Melanin is shining, if you hate it, crazy. The beats be hasty, mommy kids be tasty. Mwah. 80, huh? Oh, you the banana, made. Still I'm Mumbai, still I'm in Fenchen. If I'm a Kwame, I saw men can train. Yes, you never. Cron, dad, do my men fence run. The whole Gold Coast, why I'm a boner, Pamoho, I could go post. Mohun, yes, in before you, I would throw a blow, flow near show.
All right. So I think when it comes to Gen Zs, you know, there's a narrative that we have in every office space, in every sitting of millennials. I don't know what the boomers and stuff are saying, but we tend to come across them as the enigmas and the audacity and this and that. So Kwame and I were talking and we decided that we wanted to do a conversation with Gen Z. We did one Gen Z versus millennial a couple of seasons back. We had Zoo and Afi from Stay By Plan. They joined me as millennials. And then we had Kev and, oh my God, I'm forgetting her name. They were the Gen Zs and we had a conversation. This time around, what we did was I went and asked all my millennial friends that if you could ask a Gen Z person one question to understand them better, what question would you ask them? And everybody sent me different questions. And then that is what formed the basis of the episode. So this is an episode where I'm literally asking these two Gen Z people, mind you, they are both 21. We got 21. And you know, these are people that applied for their segment host position. We love them so much. Their personality and stuff was great. You know, just one had to win. That's why I have Triple M. Shout out to her. But what we decided to do was every time we have panel discussions, we're going to be bringing them on. So this is the first set that we have done. We'll do others. They're both 21. And this episode is a vibe. I'm telling you, it's a vibe. I enjoyed so much. I learned so much. And I think it will give you some insight. If you're a millennial, you really want to buckle up because you're about to listen to why they are the way they are. If you're a Gen Z, this is an opportunity for you to see what your peers think about your generation. And what I love is both of them held different views on different things. And so it really wasn't like a one-minded echo chamber thing. But you're going to enjoy the episode. So yeah, let's get into it. Look, on today's episode, we're going to be doing something very interesting. A lot of people do not understand this species. A lot of people have something to say about this species. Everybody's like, oh my crap, I'm a liar, dear. What is their problem? Like, people always misunderstand them, I think. Not me, though. Me, I'm a high advocate for them. I don't know. Some of them are convinced that I'm out to get them, but that is such a false narrative. Till as long as time, full of lies. But today, we have assembled a team of Generation Zs. And we're going to be talking to them about something. Do you know what I did, guys, actually? So I asked all my millennial friends to send me questions based on the things they want to know about Gen Z people. So basically, none of these are for me. This is what the young adults want to know about the incoming adults, right? Okay, so what you guys don't know is, Namunkasa. I never So what you guys know is that these guys both auditioned to be part to be our segment host, right? We have a whole, so we're going to be bringing all of them on one by one. Please, no one's going to write in the comments that you should have picked this one, you should have picked it. It has passed. But anyway, introduce yourself.
Okay, hi everyone, my name is Yorama and I'm so happy to be here, honestly. This is going to be so much fun. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God. That was so funny. I'm so happy to be here. How old are you?
I'm 21.
Listen, we got you guys the like actual Generation Zs. Fresh off the press. Okay, what about you?
So, I am Jones. Uh-huh. And I'm super excited to be here. Hey. I mean,
super excited to be here.
Uh-huh. I've been a serious fan of this podcast for a very long time.
How many years?
About close to 7 years.
7 years?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Right now, I'm 21.
Jones, you started listening to us at what, 14?
Yeah.
Now, how did you discover us at 14?
I think phones, I guess. I had a Spotify account. And I was
at 14. You are using a VPN.
No.
You're using a VPN. When did Spotify come to Africa?
My brother's laptop.
Okay.
So yeah. And I was sick and tired of listening to music all the time.
I'm
so
dying. I was sick and tired. Okay.
So I wanted to listen to something new. And at that time I heard podcasts. I didn't know what it was. Like, the only thing I knew was radio, like, and they talk and talk all the time.
What was the first episode you listened to?
I can't remember, but I think my favorite episode of all times would be Raw.
Raw, next question.
Yeah, Raw.
Hey, really? The one with Kwame Asante?
Yeah.
Okay, that's very interesting. Now we're asking each other questions. I see. Anyway, welcome to the show. Jones and Irama. Hey, why did I forget your name? I almost called you Vanessa. Oh my God. Okay, look, are you guys employed?
Yes, actually.
What are you employed as?
I'm a PA.
Oh, you're a personal assistant?
Yeah.
How do you manage that with your huge ego?
Oh, I try. I literally just started, actually, this week.
Okay.
So
it's a fresh job.
Yeah.
1 week in, how's it so far?
It's actually quite fun, I'm not going to lie. It's remote as well, so it's not really stressful.
Remote
yeah.
PA.
Yeah.
So you wake up in the morning, and you just open a laptop.
And you just answer calls, respond to messages. Honestly, it's quite fun. I'm not going to lie to you, it's quite fun talking to people because I don't talk to people often.
Did you like set out to do a remote job? Like, did you finish school and be like, you know what? I don't want to sit in anybody's office. I want to have a remote. Is that how it happened for you?
That's something I've always wanted to do, actually. I do not want to work in a corporate. I've done internships. I know working.
Oh, so you have the office experience before?
It's not for me. So I told myself that you are going to work from home. Honestly, that's what I want to
really
do. So then I saw my friend posted that someone's looking for a PA. Like, I'm bored. I'm at home. I'm not doing anything. This is basically free money, working from home. No shade to the people that work from home, but like, this is not like difficult. Like,
that's how you see it.
That's how, as a PA.
As long as you're performing labor, it is not free money.
True.
Girl, free money is when you don't do nothing. What are you talking about?
Technically.
No. So you said you've had the office job experience.
Yeah.
What about it made you realize that you don't want to do it?
I don't, because I live at Ashoreman and I was working in Accra.
I like how she has automatically removed herself as a resident of Accra because she lives in Ashoreman. Oh, you mean like Makwala Accra?
Yes.
Oh, that is so a journey.
That's a journey. That's 2 hours in, 2 hours out. That commute was so crazy to me.
So the commute is what turned you off from?
The commute, the work culture, everything.
Let's talk about the work culture. What was your relationship with your superiors like?
I feel like it was not my superiors that I would say would be the problem.
Oh.
The people around them, no tea, no shade.
So like the sub-superiors.
Yeah, like you see.
Because they were higher than you.
Yeah, but like, okay. You see a new fresh meat, you want to ruffle some feathers. But sometimes you just have to calm down.
Oh, really?
You just have to like relax. Yes, someone is here. A new person is here. I feel like you should be able to show someone the ropes. You don't want someone to go through what you've already been through. Make it easier for the next batch you get. But a lot of people have not gotten that memo yet. It's very disappointing.
I want to hear a practical example story. I'll come back to you, Jones. What has your experience with working been like? Are you employed?
Currently, I am interning.
Interning? Yeah. Where?
I work with this small logistics company, Headman Hill. We do like deliveries across the country.
And what is your role?
And I'm an accountant.
Oh, yes. We need maths.
Who said accountants?
No, accountants is not math. It's math. Or?
Yeah, it's math, but it's computing. Like in this digital age, we use spreadsheets for like basically like everything. For me, I use a calculator for everything.
Hey.
Yes.
Look, I counted myself out as an accountant because I thought my math was bad. Who would have known? They were teaching us mathematics in primary school as if calculators would not be invented in the future. No, wait. So you're an intern.
Yes.
So do you go all 5 days?
Fortunately for me, it's a hybrid position.
I also remote and then in.
Yeah,
what is going on? So how come all these employers are now understanding they can do, when I was growing up, that was a remote job. It was not plenty like that. Wait. So, do you enjoy the office culture, the work culture?
I think for me, I don't get too much experience, especially in that part, because I only go to work when my boss calls me. Maybe like, Jones, come, let's prepare this account. Yeah, let's.
So you don't interact with people?
No, not too much.
Just your boss?
Yes, my boss.
And your boss is older than you?
Yes.
By a lot. Is he like 30 young, 40, yeah, in his 30s?
In his 30s.
Oh, okay. That is cool.
He's very cool.
So you don't have any of the experience that Irama is talking about?
I think I have. I also interned at Lynx. So yeah.
Lynx Entertainment.
Lynx Entertainment.
Hey Jones, are you about to give us a viral clip?
I can't say.
Okay. So this question is from my friend Wendy. She said, I want to know how they manage their millennial and Gen X bosses who are obviously millennials and older. So I'll start with you.
I think it's very interesting seeing them navigate the internet.
Oh, wow.
It's very interesting. Honestly, something will happen. Oh, Irama, the computer is not working. What's going on? We have to call IT. Go and check it. The plug is not on.
Oh, my God.
It's very interesting. But now it's like, I know everything. I actually know a lot I'm doing.
You know what? I actually understand what you mean. It's like, it's part and parcel of you. So, like, if the computer's not working, have you checked the plug? But then for them, it's like, hey, she knows all these things. Meanwhile, you're just reading the basic stuff. Right? I understand. Okay. So the internet, what about you?
I think it's just like our parents, the way they'll call you just to come and like, download this video on TikTok for me.
At the office?
Yeah, something like that. For me, I don't have too much experience. I think I have the opportunity to work with a lot of like young people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so most of these things, I don't have too much experience. But with the one that I have had the experience to work with, which I did, he was very cool. He didn't really
show. Is there anything in Ghanaian like corporate culture that you totally think is unnecessary, needs to go, you can't stand it?
Should I be
voice out?
I didn't experience it, Mom.
Okay.
But I know that a lot of people experience that whole sending their interns, letting their interns or like NSP do all sorts of things, letting them run crazy errands.
You didn't experience it?
I didn't experience it, but I know it's something that I'm happy I've not experienced it. I think that we've grown as a society. So it's
have
going
we?
Down. Or we haven't?
If you had experience, do you think you would have been able to speak up against it?
That's the problem though. Because it's the culture. Can I say no?
No.
Then I'll just be ganged up upon, oh, she's difficult to work with. Oh, don't work with her. Oh.
So what I'm hearing is that you would play along to get along. Honestly. Because I have been in a space where a young person was being sent and she said she won't go.
I don't think I have that. I don't have thoughts like that.
You're not a revolutionary.
I'll stand behind
You're not a radical.
I'll stand behind him.
But you will not be the one to start it. Okay. Prince wants to know. I just want to know where they buy their audacity from because I want to buy some. People are convinced you guys have a lot of audacity. Do you agree?
Yes.
Hey, okay. Jones, why do you think so?
I think we grew up very fast.
So,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you think that?
I think like, you know, how do I put the words? In tree, right?
I think
it's everyone.
Okay, why do you think that?
Because I think we are very quick to notice the inconveniences the older generation actually sort of like put us through. And I don't know, for me, it's just been something that, and for me, I'm a rebel.
Sad.
Yeah, I'll rebel at any moment that I have.
Okay.
Yeah. So if I'm experiencing something I don't like, I would voice it out. Like,
so I can speak for millennials. I think mostly like how you were approaching the office thing, right? We would see stuff and complain about it. I think the challenge, or what sets us apart from Gen Z, is like the speaking out parts or acting on it. Not me, because we also understand not rocking the boats, playing along to get along. And that's what sets us apart from you. Why do you not, like, what you say you're a rebel, you don't care about the consequences of like whatever action you take?
I think I do. But at the same time, for my sanity and my comfort, I think speaking out is the best option. Wow. And after that, I would apologize.
Apologize for what? No, so it's like, where do you, wow. So for you, it's really about yourself.
Yes. I mean, it's for the safety of my ego and your ego.
Hey.
Yes. I want to feel comfortable in whatever environment I am in. And I won't make you try to like infringe on that freedom that I'm trying to experience.
You don't want to ever be in a situation where you are uncomfortable.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's very interesting. I mean, honestly, I understand that. I mean, I understand that. But, you know, usually in like work things, because that's where like you get your money from, a lot of people like just don't want to put their, bites the hand that is feeding them, especially on my side of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just interesting to see that you, at a very early age, you are prioritizing yourself. It really comes usually like as you get older, you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to speak. That's why older people, it's easy for them to go to a restaurant and speak out. I want to see the manager and stuff. And then when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I can't do that. do you complain to managers at a restaurant?
No. Never did I
know. Older one day, you don't do it.
No, that one,
you go and say it on social media. Is that your complaint?
For me, no.
I think also, that is very, social media is actually really important, because Gen Z was able to witness the shifts from like traditional newspaper, all of that. Now everything's on the internet. Mm-hmm. So now we've been able to form communities. So you see, you complain to your coworkers and mm-hmm. then that's where we leave it. We can complain to our internet coworkers mm-hmm. and it's spread around. So everybody knows. So everybody's like, oh my goodness, you are experiencing the same thing I'm experiencing. And there's like 1,000 of us that's experiencing the same thing. We have to do something about it. We can't let it be like that.
Oh, okay.
I feel like that's also very important. The fact that we've been able to form a community, and there's a lot of like online communities as well.
So is it safe to say that you get your audacity from the internet?
Yes.
Yeah, knowing that we'll get the backup that we
yes.
need.
But the internet is not in the office with you. Like if you go and let's say you stand up to your boss, the internet is not your. Or is it because...
But someone on my floor with that also works with me is also on the internet.
Oh.
So they also stand up
with me.
Yeah.
Oh, we're learning a lot today. Okay. Okay, so Alberto says, I want to know about their honesty. I want them to be honest about burnouts without glorifying it. Okay, what are your thoughts on burnout? Because you're like, you don't want to ever be in a situation where you are uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
So that means that if, let's say, you're in a high-pressure environment, you're supposed to, like, deliver on something, will you not stretch yourself to try and meet the deadline because, oh, I don't want to be uncomfortable?
Oh, I would meet the deadline.
You will?
Yeah. I think for that one, you know you have to deliver, so...
Right.
Yeah. Unless maybe it's a situation that you have actually like no control about.
Maybe then it's a character thing. Maybe a woo-wad. Because I feel like I've also experienced a situation where it's like work has been given to somebody to be done in a certain time frame. And they objectively felt like, no, they subjectively felt like, oh, I can't get this work done in the time they are asking. So it's not possible.
At least they're communicating.
They are communicating. Mm. And then all the millennials are like, oh, wow, how dare he say that? You know what I mean? Yeah. So do you think burnout is justified in any way, or what's your approach to that?
I think burnout is justification for not doing work. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it, but I feel like it's justification enough, because if I'm burnt out, I'll not be able to perform to the fullest of my abilities.
Okay, so Gen Z seems to be one of the biggest advocates for mental health. And it often is used as a way to clown you guys as well. It's like, oh, every small thing, my mental health. How do you feel about that? When people think like you guys like rely on this mental health thing too much. I mean, I obviously understand the importance of mental health. But you know, there's this running joke about you guys, every small thing, mental health. What are your thoughts on that?
It's funny, but it's sad.
You're very menacing. I'm sorry. It's funny, but it's sad.
It's because I feel like millennials don't take it seriously enough.
Mm.
And we take it seriously, but also joking about it. I think because of COVID, there's so much shit going around the world. Everybody's trying to make joy of something so terrible. That's why we laugh about it. But in laughing about it, we also, it's basically advocacy to an extent.
Is everything political for you?
Yes, actually. Unfortunately, yes.
Like you always feel like it, at every chance you have to take a stance and stand up for something.
Because everything is political though.
Okay.
When you go down. It's all, everything comes from something racist, misogynistic. Homophobic. There's always
why is
something.
Your voice going now as you're saying that? Are you not confident in what you're saying?
I tell my friends all the time that what you're saying, it's probably, even if it's a good or a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
it came out because of something homophobic in the past, racist mm-hmm. in the past, misogynistic in the past. In fact, all of these things can come all down to misogyny, honestly.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So, Jones, have you ever used mental health as a reason not to do something your parents has asked?
No. My parents don't believe in mental health.
Your parents don't believe in mental health. So when they say you should do something, you do it.
I do it.
But in relation to other people in the office and stuff, they use your mental health.
I still do it. I'm a good boy, so I would do it.
You say you are an advocate for mental health.
For me, I'm not.
Oh, you are not?
I'm not.
Oh, so it was just you?
It was just
Oh, me. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Okay. Oh, how come you're not an advocate for mental health?
I feel like it's just like a way that Gen Zs, they get out of certain situations. Like sometimes you have to sit down and talk about the relevant things. But every time, even with your colleagues, the same Gen Z people, mostly when you're having a conversation with them, oh, my mental health is drained, blah, blah, blah. Like it's annoying.
Do you think they misunderstand it or they're just using it because it's trending on social media?
Yes, I think they just use it and they just misunderstand it. It's like emotional intelligence. Everybody's trying to be like, oh yeah, emotional intelligence, but they don't have it. They know actually nothing about it.
Girl, there's wolf in the hen coop.
I disagree, actually.
Why?
I feel like, again, the age of the internet, everything is online. There are so mm-hmm. many resources online. I feel like, no.
But you guys use it against
you guys?
Yeah, you,
Charlie, he's
standing aside for now.
You're not like them, oh. Okay.
I'm a Gen Z, but like for us. Mental health issues, I'm going to stand aside. I also think it's my environment. I grew up in a household where your feelings is not really that important.
I think that's the problem, though. A lot of people have grown up like that, so they don't want that to be their future.
That's true.
That's why they think mental health is so important. Because statistics
thank uh-huh.
you, show that millennials don't believe therapy exists. Yeah.
Not all of us.
Thank you. Yeah, one of the good ones.
Wait, so do you believe in therapy?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Is that something?
How do you not see it for mental health, but you see it for therapy? They are cousins.
Yeah, I just like the idea of having to sit in someone's couch and then the person listening to your problems.
So you just have a main character syndrome. you want attention. Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know if our listeners have gotten what they want to get out of this mental health conversation, but we're just going to move on to the next question. Sandra wants to know, what is your relationship with money?
I love money.
Yeah. I love money.
Like anything that will make me money.
Do you do you have a savings habit? Do you have anxiety? Let me give you an example. Okay. So for me, I have a little bit of anxiety when I'm spending money.
Right.
Because in my mind, it's like, okay, shouldn't I be saving this money? Will I ever get it back again like this? You know, or let me not spend all my money because unforeseen circumstances will happen. And you know, when you're an adult, it happens like you, one fine Tuesday. Let me tell you, one time I went to blow air into my car tie. And I went, and the guy was like, oh, what tie now, Ray? He made me like turn it and like the inside has a ray. I was like, okay, then realize that another one to add ray. I went to blow air into the car tie, something that cost 10 CDs or 5 CDs. I ended up buying 2 ties that day. So sometimes when I'm spending money, I have a little bit of anxiety because I'm like, am I spending money that could save me like tomorrow? Right. So what is your relationship with money?
I feel like my philosophy in life is whatever you spend will come back.
Mm.
Like even if you don't spend it now, you're going to spend it eventually. It's going. Sometimes I'm in school, right? Sometimes I'm there, like, oh my goodness, I want to buy, let's say, this shirt.
Uh-huh.
And then the shirt is like 150 CDs. Uh-huh. Okay, I will not buy the shirt. Next week, I realize that 150 CDs is gone either ways. I spent it on something else. Why not spend the money on something that you enjoy? Spend the money now. It will come back soon. Don't worry.
That PSA was probably brought to you by Uhubra. Okay. What about you, Jones?
I think I live with the philosophy of the opportunity cost. Yes.
Jones comes from a strict household, I can tell. Your parents run a tight ship. How many siblings do you have?
We are 5 boys.
Okay. Let me hear it. Opportunity cost.
Yeah. Yes. So instead of spending my entire money on one thing, I will prioritize it by finding 2 or 3 activities which that same amount of money can be shared across.
Okay, wait, hold on. So let's say you go somewhere, you see really nice pair of sneakers. It's like, let's say 1,200 CDs. You think that, okay, what can I do with this 1,200 CDs aside the sneakers?
Yes.
And then on what basis will you decide that you, so if let's say the money that you are going to spend can cover like what's more than 3 things, you spend the money or what's your metric?
Yeah, I won't spend the money if.
What?
Yeah.
But will they give you the same joy buying the sneakers?
Definitely. I would find a way.
The things that the money can do.
Yes.
So how many things should the money be able to do for you to be like, oh, I'll buy it?
Oh, let's say in the scenario of the sneakers, yes. Right? Maybe I'll look for something else. Maybe going out. I can use the money to go and sit.
But when you're going out, you have to wear nice sneakers so people will see you and give you fun.
I already have some there. Yes.
I don't need extra.
The other one. When the Christmas money comes in and the allowances, I'll buy a new one.
Oh my God. What was Christmas like for you guys growing up? Because we had to deal with Amos. Do you know Amos?
Yeah.
You know Amos?
The clowns.
Yes. When we were growing up, Amos, they used to use Amos to scare us. Like, nobody wants Amos to come to their house. Now, Amos, they've lost relevance. So they walk on the street and dance and ask for money. At first, people used to pay them to come and scare their children. All right? Christmas in Ghana was Piccadilly biscuit. Back then, fried rice and chicken was not common. You get fried rice and chicken, even eating chicken. Like, it was very, you know, there are certain things that it wasn't a common thing. When fast food came, now it became common. So that's my Christmas growing up. What was your Christmas growing up in Ghana like?
For me, we just stay at home. We get like a chicken. Let me roast it.
You roast it?
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Did you get a live chicken?
Yeah.
And who kills the chicken?
My dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you roast it. You don't do soup.
They don't have time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Workaholics.
They are working during Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, what's Christmas like for you?
There's this Tyler Perry movie.
Which one? This Christmas. Okay.
That's like tradition. Every Christmas. So anytime I see it, it's very nostalgic.
So that is your traditional Christmas movie, not Home Alone.
Yeah.
No, wow.
Funny enough, I haven't seen Home Alone on Christmas since like Ache. It's been so long.
Okay, so what about this Christmas is so iconic to you?
That scene where she pours the baby. Is that this Christmas? Yes, she pours the baby oil on the floor. He comes out.
And then she's whipping him. Oh, wow. You know what? This is going to segue into this question. This is from my friend Kobe. He wants to know, I'm curious about their relationship, you know, their relational dynamics and how that differs from millennials, how they approach friendships, relationships, situationships, marriages, etc. Since you're talking about somebody pouring baby oil on the floor and lashing her man who's stepping out of the bathroom, what is your approach to romantic relationships?
So this is actually quite funny. I haven't been in one.
Okay. Jones, so, you haven't been in one either?
Yes.
Wow. I love the innocence. 21, fresh, nothing on your resume.
Claire.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Why is that?
I don't know. The thing is, I'm very happy being alone. I enjoy being alone. I feel like having someone next to me that I would have to constantly communicate with. Oh, how are you? Oh, like, let's do something. Let's go on activities. Debbie. Oh. I feel like, cause I do a lot of stuff. I do a lot of random extracurriculars.
Right.
And I go on a lot of random tangents. And
your life is filled with side quests.
Yes.
Okay.
I love side questing. So the thing is, I can't be on a side quest. You're calling me, babe, what's going on? Come home. Da, 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 da.
Where do you get that idea from?
Internet.
So you are assuming that relationships require you to always update somebody and all of that. That's why.
I feel like there should be some form of constant communication.
Mm.
Otherwise, if you're not constantly communicating, if you're not constantly talking, mm-hmm. I feel like it's dead. Sometimes I see on the internet, my boyfriend hasn't spoken to me in 2 weeks. Say, hey, is he your boyfriend?
Wait, what are your thoughts on long distance relationships?
Maybe that.
Why?
I feel long distance. How? Like Kasua and Nadenta. That's as far as I feel like long distance can go. Because why are we crossing borders? No,
genuinely. No, but what? Okay, what about Karen Kumasi?
Their flight is how much? I feel like you can fly. A bus is like 250. A flight can be like 1.2K. You can make it work. But, I'm awake. It's 5 a.m. You are going to sleep. It's 10 p.m. How are we going to communicate?
Bad. I used to be like you. Mm. I used to believe this too. Mm. But I've changed my mind slightly. Yeah. Jones, what about you? What is your approach to romantic relationships and why have you never been in one?
For me, I have commitment issues.
Hey. Yeah. Why? How? You. What has led to this self-diagnosis?
I think I entered into a few talking stages and it's just played over and over again.
Like the same pattern was repeating. What is the pattern?
I think in the beginning, communication is very good. We are going back to back. Then now I expect the other person to do more. As in,
by which point do you start to expect more?
Where it doesn't feel like I have to instigate the conversations.
I understand. But like, yeah. For like, let's say, is it 1 month? Like how long are you happy to instigate the conversations?
Like 1 week.
After one week. Jones.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so the pattern that you have experienced is that repeatedly, people don't give you the same energy that you are giving them.
Yeah.
So now you don't want to even bother. But is that commitment issues?
No, and I actually have commitment. I can't commit to just
one person.
Yeah.
Why?
I want to have a broad option. Like I want to have options. I want to have a lot of things on the table.
Hey, and could buffet, could be buffet.
No, you see, you always have the intention that okay, maybe one of these things is like going to work out for you. So why don't I have these options available to me, and then maybe I'll work towards all of them. Maybe give all of them like 1 week, 1 week. Then we'll see where the vibe.
The illusion of choice. So, like, every time that there's one person, your mind is what if there's somebody better?
Yes. And I'm afraid to get my heart broken. So, that's to stay safe.
Hey, who's around you? No, but life is about risks. Like, you, look.
No risk, no reward.
Wow.
My broken heart is, like, crazy.
Whose broken heart have you experienced that made you afraid?
TikTok, Instagram. I've seen a lot. I've heard a lot.
What if they are performing? People can be performing for content.
And then I've taken it.
Your friends have been through a lot.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
What is the worst state you have seen your friend in that made you be like, I don't want to go through this?
Forgive me.
Don't mention anybody's name.
I'm not going to mention a name. But she'll know herself.
Okay.
So she's with this guy and...
Hey, are they still together? It's okay. Please. Okay. I want to know, what is your approach to friendships?
I think friendships are really, really important. Uh-huh. My New Year's resolution was to meet more people and develop, is that the right word? More friendships, essentially.
Do you have a lot of friends?
I wouldn't say a lot, but I have a very close group of people that I'm around.
How big is that circle? 10 people? 20. 20. Okay, that's a nice rotation. Do you believe in the concept of best friends?
No, because then I would have a lot of best friends, you know.
No, but what do you understand a best friend to be?
Someone, yours, I wouldn't say basically a sister, because I feel like there's relationships that are stronger than that. But I feel like someone that you're super close to, you share everything, essentially that you can share, I can talk to you about anything, you can talk to me about anything.
I see.
But I prefer the term close friends.
Close friends.
Yes.
I do too, honestly, because the thing is, I feel like best friend, the idea of a best friend is like, it can be only one person.
Yes.
And I remember there's been several times in my life where there's like, okay, two people are like, hey, I'm your best friend. I'm like, close friends. These are my close friends. Joe, do you have best friends?
No, close friends.
Close friends.
Yeah.
At which point did the idea of best friends die? Because it was very big with millennial culture.
Yeah.
Is it because of non-committal to one person?
For me, no. For friendship, I approach friendships like relationships. The kind of efforts you put into a relationship, that's the same thing that
you put into your friendship. Yes,
because breakouts in friendship is actually also very painful.
Yeah.
Like relationships as well. So a friend that you can learn from, a friend that you can feel free and not always kind of like wonder what's going on in their head. Like, if you're my friend, I should feel free, comfortable around you. Yes.
What is a deal breaker for you? Like, what is something that somebody can do and then like you can no longer be friends with a person?
I feel like this is getting political again.
Okay.
But I feel like for me to have some form of, okay, not friendship. For me to be friends with you, I would need to know your stance on like feminism and stuff like that. Because that's something that's really dear to my heart. So if you are not a feminist or you are not even feminist, you killed me. I don't think I can communicate with you on that level. So I'm not even feel free because it seeps into your ideology, the way you think. So we'll clash a lot.
So when you're getting to know somebody, do you like downright ask them? It's like, hey, what are your thoughts on feminism?
If you're a man, I'll ask you, are you a feminist? What are your thoughts on feminism?
I love that. And then that's how you determine whether or not you...
So their answer is like, and then I'm like, okay, then I know to not... You're not going further than
that.
Hello, hi.
An acquaintance.
Basically.
Yeah. Oh, so what do the two of you think about the term marry your best friend?
It's a lie.
Why is that a lie?
I think it's a... Marrying your best friend, what does that mean though? Marrying someone that is super close to you, or your boyfriend should be your best friend?
I mean, I think the whole thing is just trying to say that you should have a friendship with the person that you are.
Oh, wait, then I believe in that.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Oh, bet. What about you?
I do.
Do you guys believe in the institution of marriage? Jones, you can start. I think she needs to take time.
Okay, yeah, I think I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You'd like say what options?
But I mean, at a point in time, you have to settle down, right?
Is that what you believe? Or that is what society has told you?
Yeah, I think that's what society...
Do you believe that?
I think, yeah.
So you will want to settle down?
Yeah.
You want children too?
Yes.
Oh, how many?
I don't know, but like three is okay.
Three. Yeah. What is informing the number of children you want to have?
I think the dynamics of my family. Oh, yeah.
The five boys is too much.
Too
so you want to cut it down?
Yes.
Oh, I
and
see.
Maybe this one, a little sprinkle of like girls inside.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But you don't determine that.
He does.
He does?
His chromosomes determine the sex.
How would I know?
I don't know that. Oh, is it a man that determines the sex?
Yeah.
No, but then it's... Okay, all right. Well, but yeah, but he doesn't know.
True.
Yeah. So I was asking you.
Marriage.
Yeah.
I think marriage is a beautiful thing.
Well, that sounds like a PR answer.
I genuinely think marriage is a beautiful thing, honestly. I see people, everybody's getting married nowadays. Everywhere I go, Someone is getting married.
People marry all the time. I just think social media amplifies it now, but people marry all the time. Yeah.
So I think it's being able to find someone that you connect with on a deep level,
mm-hmm.
that you think you can spend the rest of your life with them. It's a very beautiful thing, honestly.
However, so for them. Do you believe that is something
for
you...
me, I'll get married more, but like, for me, I don't know. Again, I like being alone.
Right.
I like being in my own space. Was it Whoopi Goldberg? Someone said something about like, you're sleeping and you wake up and there's a man in your house. Like,
also, Whoopi has been married more than once. She's done it. So, I mean, I do believe, you guys are 21. I do believe that there's a lot of life yet to be lived that will influence your decisions and thoughts on some of these things, right? I mean, 5 years from now, you can actually come out and be like, I do not want to have kids. Those things are expensive and they rob me of joy. I saw a TikTok of a man, this guy, like he has kids and he was like, look, from somebody who has kids, he's telling you guys, don't have kids. So, I mean, I don't feel, when I listen to people be shocked and critique like some of your thoughts and opinions, I'm not so, because I know that I've changed my mind over the course of years about several different things. So I'm sure maybe it will change. But yeah, do you feel the need to say that you will get married because it is so like, so much of an abomination when you say, I don't want to get married?
Actually, I do understand the fact that I've been socialized to think a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone tells me that, oh, do you want to get married? I tell them honestly, that's not something I'm looking at right now.
It's not priority
something
for
that's
you.
On my mind. If I'll get married, it'd be a 30 day. And then the first thing they say is, hey, 30, are you sure?
Yeah.
Won't you be too old?
Isn't that crazy?
Will you be able to find a man at that? I said, niggas are everywhere, bro.
I cannot.
No, like there's a plethora of men everywhere.
Is it?
I'm serious.
They're not in short supply.
Too many men.
Jones, you know that song?
Yeah,
we need some more girls now. Okay, all right. What kind of music do you guys listen to?
It depends.
Okay, Ghanaian artists. Who I listen to?
Sina Soul, Jackie, Kwame Eugene, Kitty, Last Mid.
Last Mid. Yeah. What's the last Mid song that you really really like?
Pool, and then the one with the video. There was boxes and dance girl was
the one in the pool.
No, you see, there was one that
Yeah, okay, I see. Who are you listening to globally?
Oh my god, I'm listening to right now. It's a lot of Cardi B has been coming on FYP because of the tour.
Yeah, right. Cardi, what's your favorite Cardi song right now?
Right, hello. I just like the whole vibe. I'm when I walk because I like to walk. When I'm on campus.
You listen, you be doing hello,
right?
Hello, I'm turned up at the party.
That's all I'm listening to. And right now, I'm listening to a lot of Jay-Z and Kanye.
Wow, what's going on?
Spotify DJ. I'm just there and then it just be giving me random shit.
And so are you like really into hip hop like that?
Not like that. I'm a casual listener. Like I'm not like hip hop head.
What do you think about our music scene here in Ghana, you guys?
I think we need groups. I think we need not duos, trios, like girl groups, boy groups. I feel like that's something we don't have. And I wish we had that.
Really?
Honestly.
You can see that for like, which is actually true. Because you know, when we grew up, we did have, we had Prior, we had FBS, we had Triple M. Do you know Triple M?
No.
Do you know Triple M? Buti, good morning. Napoesifua, good morning. Buti, Mecha. You don't know that song?
No.
Wow. We had 4X4. In fact, Book Back. 4X4. Do you know 4X4?
Yes.
Do you know Book Back? 4X4 came from Book Back. They were four. And then they broke up into, Book Back and then 4X4. Oh, yeah, it's true. We had a lot of groups growing up. Yeah. It's true. We don't.
The one with Ifia, Ms. V.
Oh, Irene and Jane.
Yeah.
Ms. V was in D3. Yeah. Nyo Via Vatro. No, no, no. You know, tonight is me. Good girls gone bad. You know it?
No.
I love it. So you think the industry needs a lot of music groups?
Yes. And I feel like not everybody has to dance.
Yeah, true.
No, sometimes if you stand and you sing, that's okay. Your aura is enough.
But is it TikTok era? Everybody wants to.
There. Some of you, you can't dance. She's not sure you want to dance.
Is there somebody that I think is okay? You know, no. I don't know. what do you think about the music industry?
I think that at this point, it's actually developing a little bit. But we need more of the women to do more.
You think the women are not pulling their weight?
They're not pulling their weight. It's the environment they are in. It's not favoring them.
It's not favoring them. Yes. How?
Let's say Jackie. Jackie's album was a 10 on 10.
After Midnight, right?
After Midnight, love it. Yes. It was a 10 on 10. But we don't really hear it around, right? We don't get people to really talk about it.
What do you have to say about that?
I think the problem is
what?
A lot of Ghanaians don't listen to albums.
Oh.
A lot of people in general are not album listeners.
You want a quick hit song.
Exactly. Like Beyonce said.
People don't listen to albums anymore. They just put out singles. Oh my God. You know that code? Okay.
Nobody listens to albums anymore. Just singles. They pop out singles. That's why I think so many artists want to dance so that they put out a single. There's a music video.
To get your attention.
Yes.
But do you think the artists are also doing everything they need to do to put the music in the faces of the people that need to listen to it?
I think a lot of them try really hard. But if your audience is not listening, there's not really much you can do.
You can do about it.
You push the art out there. They have to take it.
So it's a cultural problem.
Yeah, I think it's a cultural problem.
Mm. Do you guys have any kind of idea do you think we have a film industry?
No.
You don't. Do you know? Okay. If you had to name any Ghanaian film directors right now, do you have any names?
No.
None?
No.
I can't, unfortunately.
What's the last Ghanaian movie you watched?
Maybe I'm not cultured.
Maybe you're not cultured. You've never seen a Ghanaian movie in your life.
Oh, I have. Okay. But you know, Sa Chewa. The ones on YouTube.
So, wait. Chewa is the most recent Ghanaian movie you can think of.
The Yvonne Okoro, was it Adam Sapo?
So you know Adam Sapo?
Yeah, the whole series. Yes. I had the CDs.
And you don't know
stuff.
Who made it?
No.
Shirley from Palmer. So.
Oh!
Yeah.
Right.
Also, you know Shirley from Palmer.
Yes.
Okay, who else? Which Ghanaian film projects are you aware of? Oh my God, look at how I'm judging you guys. You don't?
No.
That is interesting. Do you remember any Ghanaian shows on TV when you were growing up?
Ifira.
You watch Ifira?
Yeah, I used to watch
Did you know that song? That was the
children.
Okay, all right. You know what? I need to steal back. What about you?
I would like to say, I'm trying to remember the name of the show, but all I can remember is Trotro. Oyalo. I don't know.
Is it Cow and Chicken?
Cow and Chicken?
I think so.
Funny Face, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So, I think Taxi Driver. So
you watch Taxi Driver?
Yeah. I was seeing it on GTV or Metro TV.
If you're Schwarzenegger, yeah. Uh-huh. So that's about it. Interesting. Oh. Do you know any TV presenters? Ghanaian TV presenters?
My love for Nanaba.
Nanaba. She doesn't present anymore,
but I love her so much. So I love you so much.
I wonder if she watches this show.
I don't know if you watch this show, but if you do, there's a girl at the University of Ghana that loves you so much.
Yeah.
Hopefully you see this. You probably wouldn't.
You are one of many.
Right.
Jessica wants me to ask you guys, what is your take on where you think the country is headed? And what do you want Ghana to look like for you in the next 5 years? So it's two parts. Where do you think the country is currently headed? And what would you like the country to look like for you in 5 years?
I think the country is going in a good direction.
Okay.
I've been hearing people say the economy is going well. I've not felt it yet, but they said the economy is going well. Hopefully in 5 years, I'll start feeling it.
Mm.
I think that the second part of the question, what I want it to look like, I feel like the activism-wise, we've been doing a lot. And I think that it's helping and it's working.
Okay.
It's a very, very slow progress.
Mm.
But I know that we are getting more people to join and to talk about our problems and voice our problems, and hopefully the right ears hear them.
So you think in 5 years you want to see a Ghana where people are more comfortable advocating for things that they need?
Yes.
And holding the leaders accountable?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, think I can see that. Where do you think the country's headed right now?
I think where the country's heading is, as she said, in a good direction.
Are you only saying that because she said it?
I'll pinpoint.
All right. I'm here. I'm listening.
And it's heading in a good direction, but some certain things are actually not on point.
Speak on it.
Yes. So like the taxation, yeah, it's too much. If you own a business, you pay a lot of tax, PIT, PE. Then.
Oh, you know, he's an accountant. Okay.
Yeah.
So you think that the taxes are too much?
The taxes are too much. And they don't even provide tutorials on how to file these taxes and stuff.
Oh, but look, if you follow, is it GRA? If you follow them on social media, you know, recently they changed the tax regime or whatever. They were putting out posts to educate people.
But they don't show the actual process. It's just, this is the page. This is the dashboard. This is where you find this. So like, you can't even find the relevant stuff. And I'm saying this from a place of...
So this is a pain point for you. Yes, because your job.
Because my job. And in the next 5 years, maybe I might be a chartered accountant or something. And yeah.
I see.
So,
yeah.
In the next 5 years, I would say the transportation system in Ghana should be fixed. Like, we need trains. We need anything that brings about like faster transportation.
Trains in the next 5 years is wild.
Yes.
I feel like the way the lack of city planning, community planning has caused people to live in places where if they're supposed to build a train right now, we need to have a lot of money for displacement and relocation of people. But
traffic is...
Yeah, definitely. I think that's one of the things that really takes away from what Accra could be like. In Ghana as a whole, if you had like a serious transportation train, like, you know, like the way the people have underground, I think that's actually what sets the Western world apart. Because from my travels, what I've realized is that when people have a good working transportation system, not everybody drives, and that frees up the road because the transportation system is cheaper, and then they all use it, and it's all underground. So let me not get into this. But so you guys are very optimistic about Ghana.
Yes.
You don't want to leave the country.
We want me. I want to.
Oh, why do you want to leave the country?
As much as I'm rooting for Ghana, it doesn't look very good.
Jones, please, you cannot contradict yourself. What do you mean by it doesn't look good? You just said you like the direction the country is going in.
Out of a place of love, but
see why I knew it was bullshit when you were talking. Okay, so why do you want to leave the country?
I think outside they have a lot of like opportunities. Yeah.
What kind of opportunities?
For me, I want to do like a lot of like, I want to like divert careers and stuff like that. So yeah, it would be easier for me to like change the career that I want to do.
Over there?
Over there.
Why not here?
Ghana is very difficult. Let's take an example. If I want to become a pilot here in Ghana with my business degree, how is it going to be possible?
You go to pilot school and learn.
Yes, but you need some basic aviation school, like...
So you'd have to are
you saying that there's no aviation school here?
There is an aviation school.
Okay.
Yeah. But it would be difficult.
I think saying the process would be longer.
Yeah, the process would be longer.
What about the Western world makes you believe the process will not be?
So I'm very I like aviation and stuff like that. So
okay.
Yeah, I've been doing my little research. Mm-hmm. So there's this one particular school, whether from any field that you're in, once you apply to the school, they will train you to become...
There are no limitations on like your certificates.
They require like a certain kind of like requirement. You have to meet it before
I see. All right, let me see. What did Martha say here? No, we've already spoken about this. What is the dating scene like for Gen Z people?
Head is very bad.
You head? So keep me out of it. Do you guys go out? Where do you guys go to?
I don't go
You don't
out.
Go out? You, I know you go out. I follow you on Instagram. So where do you like to hang out?
Just around East Legon.
That's East Legon?
Yeah.
You don't come to Osu?
I've never been to Osu.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So where in East Legon do you go?
There's like Live Resto, the restaurant.
That's it?
And then some few spots around the ANC Mall. There's a few restaurants around which I can't remember their names. Yeah. For me, I just like fun adventure stuff like that.
Is it affordable to do the things that you want to do? Oh, okay. So would you say that like your job is funding?
No.
Out of pocket.
out of pocket.
Oh, wow.
And my little savings and trouble that I get on the side.
Hey, yeah. I see. All right. Okay, cool. I mean, I feel like I've literally gotten to the end of some of my of the questions. But generally, do you feel misunderstood as a generation?
Yes.
If actually, so, by who?
I feel like the older generation has put this laziness label. And some Gen Zs do it without realizing that they are, because Gen Z has been equated to young. So anyone that's like, you see someone that's 16, oh, they are Gen Z. You see someone that's 12, oh, they are Gen Z. But you are 27, you are one of us. We are all Gen Z together. I feel like...
She said there's no class solidarity.
I feel like telling people that they are lazy or having this sort of bias just because they are young is actually harming all of us.
Yeah.
Because you are calling me lazy and I'm offended. Now I don't want to do the work for you again. So it's like...
But you know that he literally sat here and said the same thing, that but you are lazy. So then he's one of the people that...
Yeah, so he's not part of us. We
I see. Do you feel misunderstood?
I think yes.
By who?
I think with what she's saying, as I mentioned, the mental health. So like
you are just a contradiction.
Listen.
Okay.
So with her response to like the laziness scenario, the Gen Zs, her Gen Zs, they
I know, right?
They explain it with the fact that, oh, my mental health, and like, you know, sometimes that's not a reason to be lazy, right? For me, I do a lot. So
if you had anything to say to millennials, what would it be?
Please be friendly to us.
They're not friendly?
Yeah.
Really? Yes. In what sense? Like, do they not want to, like, when you say they're not friendly, what do you mean?
Some of them, they are just weird to speak to.
Weird. What makes it weird? Okay, let's do role play, right? You be the millennial. Yes, because I have to understand what you think is weird. So I'm Jones. Hi, what's up?
Good.
Please, you know, I just started work today. Where can I get food in this area?
Just roam about, you find one.
Oh, is there somewhere where you eat that you like that maybe I can try to?
Sure. But when you're going, I'll give you some money so that you buy something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But like where is the place?
So once you get down, by the roadside,
But this is very helpful. This is helpful.
Oh. It's weird. I feel like they just don't understand the emotions and we are saying like we have a lot of like emotions to express and stuff like that. It's like them, they are really closed off.
Okay. Like they interact with you, but they don't give you personality.
They don't give you personality.
You know what it is? When millennials come to work, they are playing a character.
So should we also play a character?
This is the thing. You guys believe in self-expression 100% of the time. You never put it off. We wear different hats. This is my work character. This is what, so I think that's what it is. But also maybe it could be that they just feel like you guys are lost. They don't want to laugh with you.
Yeah, lost. They feel like we don't respect.
I feel like on that note, I feel like the role play was completely off.
I know, right?
As soon as you say hi, what's up, then just excuse me.
Oh, really? Is that what you get?
Yeah, sometimes.
What do you want to say to millennials?
Mental health is very important.
Oh, here we go.
Please, if it's not for Gen Z, please take care of your mental health. Journal. Find an outlet. Find an emotional outlet. Because bottling it up inside is not good. Because you're just going to explode. And it's going to be as though feel the bend and the wrath. So please take care of your mental health. Go see a therapist. Talk to someone, anybody.
All right.
Anybody.
All right. Okay, guys, thank you. We'll be right back to do the listener letter with them.
Mfe konoko no kemfe JSS. Nkemini JSS Jenso Sunday. Onye ayegbemi.
All right, we're back and we're still here with Jones and Irama, and we're going to be answering our listener letter. Our listener letter is from a guy, so I need a name.
Kwesi.
Why?
Just random.
It's random. Are you sure?
Mm.
Do you agree?
So Kwesi. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
All right. So this is what Kwesi says. Hey, Joseph. This has taken me 2 weeks to write. cause hard guy things, but Charlie, someone I ghosted last year just joined my company and she's in my department. I met this girl at Asabaco last year. Do you guys know Asabaco?
No.
Oh, okay. I met this girl at Asabaco last year. She was with this girl that my friend was talking to back then. We spent the entire time together and it was great. Not gonna lie. He wrote NGL. We kissed and grinded small and after some drugs and alcohol, I showed her my penis. God.
Hey.
This is crazy.
I did not hear
that. Like I did not vet this letter. After some drugs and alcohol, I showed her my penis because she asked. We didn't have sex. I didn't have a lot of expectation from it because me nah, I did search money. So women in matter no day my mind right D. We spoke on and off for like 3 weeks after we met until she started asking why I wasn't texting more often. When we could see each other again, okay, until she started asking why I wasn't texting more often and when we could see each other again. I ignored one of her messages because then I make busy. But then 1 week passed, so I just let it go. Sure you guys do this too. Now she's in my office. She's acting normal too, but I can tell she's going to play it off because she said hi to me like we were strangers and kept it moving. So far it's calm. She keeps to herself and has one other girl that she moves with a lot. It's not like I'm interested, but my guilty conscience is killing me. Since I'm going to be working with her now, do I need to have a conversation with her?
No. She's
are you saying no or yes?
Yeah, no.
She's avoiding you. Don't make it awkward, bro.
Yeah.
Push it. Keep it moving.
Why go back to something that's already ended?
She's intentionally avoiding you. You made it awkward. She's trying to like enjoy her new work environment.
But you guys talk a lot about like, oh, you don't want to be uncomfortable and you. His guilty conscience is eating him up. So he wants to
make someone else uncomfortable. Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, so that's where you draw the line.
Yeah, that's where the line.
Your discomfort ends where somebody's discomfort starts.
Ego.
But that is such a lie because now when you are put in certain situations where somebody's clearly uncomfortable by your behavior, you guys still advocate for yourselves.
No, that's different. That's different. That's
how different?
Work, we are supposed to do, I'm supposed to give you a product or render a service. Mm. And so I'm telling you that I can't render said service. You understand or you don't understand. You're not entirely uncomfortable. You're just going to be upset or not upset.
You're supposed to meet a bottom line. Maybe the work that you're supposed to submit is going to contribute to something that they are also doing.
That's why I'm communicating.
I'm dying.
Communication
Hi
is key.
And hello is cool.
Communication is yeah. key.
So would you say that Kwesi should be saying hi to her back?
Yes. For me, yes. And
would you would you like be the one to initiate, like you see her and say hi, or you only respond when she says hi back?
Yeah, when she says hi back.
So you would not say hi. What about you?
I feel like you should say hi once.
She said hi once.
No, he should say hi once. Like
to gauge.
He's passing by, so that's not like, oh, now I've come here too. He's also being some way. So if he's passing by and she happens to pass by, he can a little wave, a little nod.
A wave. Or what if he doesn't get a wave back?
He should take the L and keep it pushing.
What?
No.
Is there a world where you see him like having a conversation with her about it?
He shouldn't.
Because I feel like the way things ended was because he didn't think he was going to see her again. It's like, okay, we had a good time. We are talking. And you know how that thing happened? You guys just drift apart.
Yeah.
But I mean, he did leave it unread. The last message was unread. You don't think he should have any kind of conversation?
I think it can happen, definitely, where they'll sit down and maybe have the conversation. But I would just advise that I shouldn't really think too much about it. Just, hi, hello is okay for now.
Like, you've already shown her your penis, bro. What more do you want to say? Genuinely. What do you want from
maybe that's the thing. Maybe he's also, like, worried about what narrative she will... like give to, because he said she's moving around with some girl in the office a lot,
and she's already told her.
I think that's what it is. Honestly, yeah. I feel like but that's the thing, she cannot come to your office and not make friends, because I think that's what his issue now is, because these are his work people, and now you have come, you are close with one person. Are you telling her that?
I think as far, I think she'll probably just be like, oh, I was talking to this nigga and he ghosted me.
Really?
That's as far, as long as they are work colleagues, I don't think we're going to talk about intimate sexual things with your work colleague.
Really?
I object.
Do you do that?
You're dead right.
Do you do that?
Girls, they will share every detail.
No, I said work colleague. As not in her friend.
That
she, I said she's not a friend. She met her at work.
No, she yeah. said she
has moving
a
around.
Yeah, with a friend. Yeah. Work friend.
Oh, yes. Then, right now, I as long as she just keeps
someone in at my job.
And I'm like, hey, I saw her sick. It was so tiny.
Wait. Okay, so that's the thing, right? So that's the thing. That is a cause for concern for him.
Yeah.
So honestly, you guys both think he needs to bottle up the guilty conscience and keep it moving.
I think yes, he caused it. He has to deal with the consequence. Oh, I see. I see how this would sound, but still,
no. I feel like if this working situation is going to like continue for a while, at some point that conversation will come up.
Yeah.
There is no way. Let's say if they are working at this place for the next 2-3 years. In the same department, they're either going to be put on a team together. You know, sometimes you go on like a trip together, and there are certain like situations at work that put you in a different space. Like maybe you've gone somewhere, you're waiting in a car for your boss or something. So something will come up where this will be addressed. I think what the question here is, who should he instigate it, or should he like just be open if she brings it up but never instigate it?
I don't think she would bring it up.
Are you sure?
I feel like, okay, maybe she might, but I feel like...
What if she's being passive aggressive?
That's probably it though. But I feel like as long as she probably just wants to be comfortable in her workspace, this is where I'm going to be spending a lot of my time. You're a nigga, you ghosted me, so okay, me, I took my L, I'm pushing. You, why do you want to bring your stress up on me?
Yeah.
You see... I think she should just, he should take his L. Oh, hell. That's why I say he should say hello once.
You don't think that, okay, what about an apology?
Because apology for ghosting me.
Yeah.
That'll just make him more awkward. Like, okay, you apologize. I don't accept. What now?
Or she would think it's not genuine and that he's only apologizing because now I work in your workspace.
Yes. Because he wouldn't have if he hadn't seen her. So now it's going to be.
It's all about the package right now. The package she saw.
Yeah. Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, it for is me, actually.
If I'm to show you something about me like that.
It will worry you that he's not minding you in the office.
No. It will worry me as in me going to instigate that conversation for us to come and have that conversation again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I won't. If you say hi to me, hi back. That's all.
You should just say hi once. Chrissy, please just say hi once. If she doesn't mind you, then you take the L and move on.
Yeah, honestly, I just think that like you're at work, keep it pushing. Like
right. You
just act like this is where you people are meeting each other. If an opportunity presents itself, and who knows, maybe she, like he said, she's being normal, and maybe a new friendship can develop from there without any like, oh, we are working towards something. No, it's just like office, whatever.
Or
and maybe
nudity.
Is there
or nudity?
I just think that like, yeah, bro, like don't rock the boats, just vibe, and eventually opportunity will come up and then you can like talk about it. And I think if you do apologize, you should be honest and say that you are only apologizing because now you guys work together. I think there's no shame in admitting that.
Yeah.
Because have you ghosted someone before?
Accidentally.
What you mean accidentally?
I promise.
You forgot to reply the message and then weeks went by.
Oh, this one cry was like 2 months. Something like that.
You didn't answer a message for 2 months?
I did either 2 months or like 6 weeks. But we had an event, right? And he came for the event.
Mm-hmm.
And then he texted me about the pictures because we had like a photographer come take pictures.
And you never sent it.
I was going to get feedback and I forgot. Then I remembered randomly.
And then when you went to check, it was too long.
So then I said,
you messaged after all the delay?
I said, because sometimes I'm randomly there and I just like scroll through WhatsApp and go to the bottom.
And did he respond?
I saw it there and I said, I'm so sorry. I am now seeing this. did you get your pictures? Say yes. He got his pictures from, I was an executive in my department, so he got his pictures from another executive. Then he sent me a text again. You won't believe I forgot about it again.
Oh, you're not serious.
But he came for a meeting
once. You don't like him?
No, not that I don't. Like, he's someone I just met.
Oh, at okay. The event. All right.
And then I saw him again. No, a friend of ours. I didn't know they were friends. He came for a meeting I was at and he left early. And then my friend was speaking to him over the phone. And I was like, oh, is that so-and-so? He said, yeah. I said, oh, I know him. He came for one of my events. Oh,
see, so this is what Kwesi is afraid of. That somebody, she's sitting in the office saying, oh, I know him. I went to Asubaka, he showed me his penis. And she'll conveniently leave at the part where she asked.
Yeah. Did she ask though?
Yeah, see, that's what he said.
He said she asked. And he removed his pants.
Did you not hear the part about the alcohol and the...
The drugs.
Have you ghosted someone before?
Yes.
Oh, okay. What was the reason?
For me, when the vibes are not vibing.
That's worse than mine.
You don't believe in saying, hey, you know what? I don't think that like the vibes are right. So
sometimes
peace
I
out.
Say it. Sometimes.
And sometimes.
If I feel like I truly want to make this work, I will say it. But most of the times, I just... The last message you said, that's the last
that's
message.
It.
What about blocking?
Oh, I don't block.
Oh, wow.
At least I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
I'm very trigger happy.
You block?
Oh, you stress me so much.
Hey, look. Honestly, yeah, like don't rock the boat. If it comes up, be honest and say, yo, this was one of those things where we're just going to drift apart, but you ended up working in my office, so I'm going to apologize. That's what I think, Kwesi. Anyway, guys, if you have any questions about a dilemma, something that you're going through, it can be on a range of different things. Send us a DM and we will be picking your letter and we will be reading and giving you an advice. It might be a month or two late, but hey, we will get to the letters. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Jones and Irama, do you want to share your social media or you don't care?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look at you. Yeah, you're fame happy. You're trying to blow.
I'm trying to grow my account.
Why do you want to be an influencer?
No.
You just want to
be a creator.
Oh.
I see. Okay. What's your social media?
So on Instagram, it's Carl.Jones with a K at the end. That's yeah. Monster. And you can find me on Snap as well, Calvin Jones.
You are sharing your Snap. Oh, with a businessman. Okay. What about you?
My Instagram is AKSThoughts. And my Twitter is ASAPON1. So that's ASAPONG1.
Oh, okay. Calling all the activists. Follow her on Twitter. All right, guys. That's our show. We'll be back to the shout outs. All right, and we're back. Oh, yes. Lovely episode, right? Look, I want to hear all your comments. I want you guys to hit us up on socials. Because the video will be out. I really want to hear your comments. Let's engage. We'll do our best to put out some question prompts on Twitter and so that we see how we can talk about it. And also in the channel, I really want to hear your thoughts on it. If maybe we have to do a part two, we can get another group to come and then maybe I'll even open it up to the people in the channel to send us questions. Yeah, Kwame, maybe we can do that. Send us questions and we can do another one. But yeah, I really loved it. So get into it. And share, please let everybody know about it. Your office people, you guys don't understand
understand the Gen Zs. Share it in your office. Play in your office. Let people be like, hey, now why me? Why I'm for me? You know what I mean? And then you're getting us followers and shares. I'm sorry. This year, we are promoting ourselves shamelessly. I don't know about you. We are promoting ourselves shamelessly. Every time we get on this mic, we're going to talk to you about the things that we're on and where you want. We want you to follow us on. We're going to talk about the things we are selling and where we want you to purchase this. We are going to be telling you. So just prepare yourself. Don't be doing like, hey, every time they are doing ads. Yes, I don't want to sell Indomie. I don't want to have 10 Indomie joints. This is what I'm doing. Anyway, guys, that has been our show. It's time for us to get into the shout outs. On today's episode, who am I shouting out? You know, I want to remind you guys, if you want anybody to, you want to say happy birthday to somebody, you want to tell somebody that, hey, you know, this, or you even want us to shout you out yourself, send us a DM and you'll be the shout outs. We haven't gotten any shout out, but I want to shout out Nidodu Amponsa. Nidodu Amponsa. So, let me see. This girl, Sandra Ajisi, shared on her Instagram story. She said, Chumanjo, your voice has a way of keeping me awake at the office. And oh, I can't stop laughing. Girl, I keep you awake at the office? When I'm feeling sleepy in my office, I chew gum. But I guess I'll take it. Nidodu Amponsa replied and said, honestly, it's never boring. I love listening to the Sincerely Accra podcast. I want to give the two of you a shout out because both of these involved you talking about us on social media, so people saw. If you want to get our attention, talk about us on social media, babes. That's it. Then you can tell your friends that, hey, did you hear? They mentioned my name on Sincerely Accra. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, very yes. I want to shout out Atel_B on Twitter. That's Atelski. He said, listener letters are my favorite parts of Sincerely Accra podcast. The number one podcast in the whole Ghana. Yes, you got it. Anyway, guys, that's our show. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to love you, leave you, and catch you on the next one. I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR Network, number one podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. Of course, Kwame Asante-Ofori, my co-creator and producer. And look, it's a great episode. Tell somebody about it. Rate us. We love you. We'll catch you on the next one. Keep checking for us because you know it's always a good time. On Sincerely Accra, live from Toronto. Bye.
Yo, uh-huh. Hustle and family, all I know. Never will, never had no time for. Never really cared for designer clothes. I just never needed much to keep my mind at home. Good woman, good weed, good friends, enough. Okay. Ambition, in the air we trust. Ain't no hard work that we feel we tough. Trying to keep it low key, though we clearly up. My whole MO to be calm and healthy. Every track that I'm on to be the bomb, so help me. But why am I wide as such? Why am I so BBB? My mind's a muck. And it's mostly things we just don't need at all. So being connected, being bra, I've been evolving, you know. Playing the long game, I can't afford to ignore fame. Cause I always did my own thing. Sticks and stones are just what I need. Cause everything's all content, what you mean? I'ma look back and be proud. Well played, another project out. Still the trailblaze.
I'm back at your dinner, you know. Yeah, you baby, I come with you. I
must be unstoppable. I'm still functioning, it's logical. Legendary, my destiny. It makes sense, the passion, but I got the skill. I'm still getting word that they playing my song. I just smile to myself and keep sailing on. I act like it's nothing, but where I'm from, I get proud to the neighborhood. Ace the one. And they keep sending beats, so I can't retire. It's a gift and a curse I've been handed, right? Sincere till my work is done. One by one, every verse is spun. Thank you later, not sincerity at night. You won't get it. It just gets better with time, I swear. And I do hate them interviews, that's why I try to put everything in the music. Yeah, one of a kind, had a wonderful time. Beating life into words from this hell of a mind. I'ma look back and be real proud. Well played, did what I could with what I had, where I'm at.
I'm part of your dinner, you know. Then the bank will let you, baby. Yeah, you, baby, I come with you. I've been a instrument, be right. Now, yeah, my dad, yeah, me, yeah. Me, son, soon come with you, dad. Yeah, you, baby, I come with you. I've been a instrument, be right. Baby, yeah, you, baby, I come with you. I've been a instrument, be right. Yeah, you.
This has been a Gold Coast Report production.